Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream, the show that dares to explore the multidimensional, the mysterious, and the miraculous. Today, my guest is Jamie Price, a powerful channel, healer, and messenger, bringing forward Lyran wisdom, crystalline soul healing, and light language transmissions to help humanity align with ascension and cosmic evolution. Stay with us for profound insights and a live energy transmission from Jamie. Dare to Dream won 3 Talk Radio Positive Change Awards, the COVR Award for Best Podcast. Walt Magazine named Dare to Dream one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year, and it is high ranking on Apple. If you'd like to listen or watch, if you want to watch us, go to YouTube, Rumble, Spotify. If you want to listen to us, go to any major podcast site. Be sure to like it, be sure to subscribe, and thank you for being on this journey. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane here in Access Consciousness. They do energy work. So if you would like to become a facilitator or take one of their classes, go to Dr. Dane here, HEER.com. I welcome you to unlock your cosmic potential with a free starseed video and report for an engaging exploration that investigates many starseed species in depth. Learn your galactic origins, discover your star lineage and celestial ancestry now. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. I was recently interviewed again on Gaia TV. If you'd like to check out both my interviews, completely different conversations, one from last year, one from this year. They are extraordinary and deep. And I welcome you to go to Gaia TV, just type in my name and they will come up. And if you do not have the amazing platform, really it's a platform for our tribe, go to debbiedashinger.com/Gaia and get a free 1-week subscription and see all the amazing programming they have. It's debbiedashinger.com/GAIA. I am doing monthly shamanic galactic healings. If you would like to join me, please do. I've had so many people showing up every month for these. And I think as Jamie and I are going to talk about, this is the time to be connected with somebody or people that you know can really bring the energy work and the shifts right now. We all need it. So join me if you sign up on debbiedashinger.com. You will get notified because we've got one coming up next month. And last, I am speaking on a cruise next year, March 2026, to Greece and Turkey. It is the Mystery School at Sea. And you can go to mysteryschoolatsea.com to put down a deposit for your cabin. I will be speaking. We're also doing a lot of land excursions and going to places like Delphi. Just amazing. With experts in these realms, even that we'll be talking about today, and including mystery schools who will show us and explain to us the deep goddess wisdom and some of the things that happen there spiritually, how we can harness that energy right now. That's mysteryschool@csea.com. My guest, Jamie Price, is the author of Opening to Light Language and the Cosmic Consciousness Ascension Deck. Jamie is an energy healer, channel, and teacher. She developed a profound healing modality called crystalline soul healing with her Lyran guides. It is a powerful alchemical template of soul progression that heals and empowers. Jamie also teaches light language, transformational creation codes. She teaches both of these modalities worldwide. And to learn more, go to jamieprice.com. That's JAMYEPRICE.com. Also, Jamie, she speaks lots of places, but I'm going to mention one. West Virginia at the West Virginia Channel Panel. If you're in that part of the country, or if you want to fly to that beautiful part of the country, she and some other magnificent channelers are going to be there. I was part of the January Channel Panel. I believe hers is in November. I have to tell you, it's probably one of the best events I've done. Very heart-based and unbelievable information coming through these channels. I'm going to have that link in the show notes, so please refer to the show notes. And with that, I bring Jamie Price on to Dare to Dream. It's so wonderful to have you back here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you, Debbie. It's a pleasure to see you again, as always.
Yeah, for me as well. And I want to start off by saying congratulations on the Shift Network. That is so big. I know how big that is, and I'm excited for you. How is that going?
It's going really well. So we just started the class last Tuesday, and there's quite a few hundred people in there that are there live. So it's really wonderful. And this is the way light language was always meant to go. I knew this back in the early days of teaching, and actually even before I started teaching, because when I first started opening up to light language, and I would ask my guides because I didn't know what it was, like, what is this? And this story is in my book, but they would give me these cryptic answers of this is the number of people on earth that are doing this right now. And that number would go up and down, sometimes very drastically. And over time, I understood like this is available to all of us. And some people shut it down sometimes. And yet it's there and available for us. And the more humanity awakens and we get more aligned with our divine self, our higher self, that expands our bandwidth. And then light language naturally becomes more and more available. So in the early days, when people would say it was a rare gift, I was like, no, this is a natural gift. This isn't rare. And we're seeing that expansion. And so the Shift Network is another indicator of that for me, where bigger audiences, more people are ready to explore something that seems so odd from the outside if someone's not having an experience with it. I mean, even just, watching it and feeling something like that kind of experience, it makes it real for you. It validates for you. And otherwise, it just looks and sounds so weird. And so to see it being more and more embraced is just wonderful because it is such a sacred gift that we all have access to.
That's so funny and so true. When I first saw light language, I was with Lisa Royal Holt, and I was like, these people are talking gibberish. Because I'm a big open-minded skeptic anyway. And so I was like, what is going on? You are so right. But I was not feeling what was happening. I had a whole judgment going on, so I separated. Now, all these years later, when somebody does light language and is really tapped in, boy, do I feel it. Don't have to understand a thing. My energy alignment, my energy grid is totally receiving whatever is being delivered. It is powerful stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even when it first started happening to me, I had so many judgments about it and I kept it suppressed, to myself for a long time because it does look and sound weird. And then when you start having the experiences with it, that's what really changes everything. And obviously what a metaphor for what our spiritual journey truly is, because things begin in the mental where we're observing something, but then it doesn't really become real until we start experiencing something, until we start applying it. And that's where wisdom comes from. And so light language is a really great metaphor for that.
I like how you wove that together. And for folks who are interested, because Jamie's journey and story is extraordinary, go back, just look under on YouTube, her name, my name, it'll pop right up. Our first interviewed together, we went deep into that story, and it is pretty amazing what you've surrendered to, really, and become all these years later. It's so great. And you're deeply into being a Lyran, and so am I, and I really resonate with you on that. As a fellow Lyran, Jamie, as a royal lioness, I am wondering from your Lyran perspective, what's the true evolutionary role of humanity right now? What's going on?
Whew, we are in intense times. Yeah. I mean, I've been saying for a while now, maybe a couple of years, around 22 or so, like even more so, it feels like 2012 on steroids, where prior to that, like around 2010, everything started amping up into a lot of fear and a lot of expectation that then, of course, wasn't met, quote unquote, because even what was occurring then, it's always an internal journey. And we're here in a world that is so loudly externalized, but it's the inner work of polarity integration. And the Lyran journey is one of balance, especially balancing where we have our macro separation of duality. And so the two opposites, which one of those, and the main one for us, is masculine feminine, that we have that energetic of, are we directing our energy? Are we using that intuition and that connection? Because we all begin with that first duality of sperm and egg. And then that merges into a blend of every moment being that balance of the energetics of that, not gender, the energetics of it, where the action and the connection and the circuitous, the inner and the externalized, all of those meet. And that's that Lyran journey, is that balance and that polarity integration. So here we are at a time, according to Arion, especially since 2017, in about August of 2017, they started talking a lot about, you're going to be seeing this diversion, or what seems like a split, even among light workers. And it makes so much sense now as we continue to go through more and more of that. And yet they show that to me like cell division, that even though something is dividing, it's still part of the same organism. And that's that part that we need, where you get different perspective. It's the part where the what was connected in physical becomes separate and becomes individualized, and yet it's still connected. And that's the time that we're in right now, where there is so much that seems separate. But for those of us on this journey of our spiritual awakening, our empowerment, our embodiment of who we truly are, for us, it's the time of using that perspective to be able to see the connection that's there, so that we don't just get distracted into the externalized world or the separation. And that's that Lyran perspective, is, where is the connection in things? And what connection are you holding within you? What are you separating within yourself, because of the external or because of the internal? And so it's always that reintegration of the opposites that truly are connected, that two sides of the same coin. Or as Arion often uses, that subatomic model, where in the nucleus, that positively charged proton and that neutral neutron, that's the stabilizing factor, so that as that negatively charged electron is circling, that's holding new form and stability. And then change happens from that stability. That's what we're going through, is, where do I nurture my positivity, my inspiration, my creativity with neutrality, so that as I'm going through change, which is constant here, it doesn't stop even if you sleep or resist it. When I'm going through change, can I hold more stability within that, because I have to be adaptable through it? There was a funny word that happened on my last video for the monthly energies, where I meant to say, I forget now. I think I meant to say focus, but I started to say flow. And I was like, oh, flocus. This makes so much sense because that's what we're doing. Oh, no matter what's going on out there or in here, I do need to focus, but I also have to go with the flow. So flocusing is that I'm focused, but I'm adaptable and I'm moving along with life. And that's so much of what we're going through now is don't let the external, whether it's in your life or in the world around you, overwhelm the balance of your internal.
That is beautifully said. I really like that word flocus too. I may have to quote you on that. So flow.
That was a fun one.
It is good. It was a great mistake. It was a great redirect, I think. I'm listening to you, and it's very interesting when you bring some of the science into this. So does that mean that current ascension energies are actually rewiring our human DNA? Is that what's
Always.
Going on?
Always, because we are in constant change. Constant change. And this is why I'm so passionate about energy healing, because it amplifies what's natural to us. It brings more of the subtle focus, more of that subtle awareness and that subtle power, which is 99.9% of us. It brings that into your conscious awareness. And so everything that we're doing, we're going through constant change. And whether it's a moment of forgiveness or a moment of creative inspiration or a moment of standing up for yourself or saying no to something, all of those are moments of change. And that creates that new DNA, it creates that new replication that we are in constant change. So we want to take our change in the direction that we want it to go. And of course, we don't want to be overly rigid with that. We want to be adaptable and aware and readjusting, but our physical body is going through so much change. The DNA changes. The DNA activation is something becoming more available to us in the physical, because the DNA has so much more capability than what they recognize with, you know, their scientific instruments. It's the interface between our interdimensionality. It's our interface between the physical and the subtle. Now, everything is like that to varying degrees, but the DNA is the instruction set interface. And so it bridges our Akash or our energetic information and our physicality. And so it's an important aspect of it. But also the whole body is constantly going through change. Ariane's been talking for a while about some of the changes that our brain is going through, which is natural because we are very focused on expanding our intuition and meditation and our cosmic connection and bringing that into something very human. When that becomes embodied, the physical body responds just like flowers bloom in the spring with those conditions. We're in those conditions, and it's even part of why light language is expanding. And so the brain is adjusting to be able to support more of that subtle awareness, because to me, that's all our ascension is. It's a natural evolution into more awareness or broader bandwidth of awareness from the physicality, which is the 1% part of us, into the non-physical aspect of us, which is the 99.9% part of us. So as we get more of that awareness, the body readjusts. And one thing that our brain is doing that they call the tri-wave brain flow, that it's not just linear, that we're having an increase in more of a flow from the back to the front, or the subconscious to the conscious mind, that frontal lobe, the conscious choice. And what that does is it creates more of an interaction between the subconscious, which is why we do energy healing. And that allows us to not just view the subconscious from, oh, that's unawareness. No, it becomes more interconnected with awareness, and it becomes more accessible to our awareness, where subconscious starts to become accessible into the superconscious more and more. And so we're anchoring that more deeply. And then we'll start to see more interest and, which we're already seeing a lot of the interest, more interest and accessibility into natural capability of the brain that we haven't been using so directly, like telepathy. You know, with the telepathy tapes becoming popular, we're like, yay, we've known about this. So it's a really exciting time. It is sometimes a very traumatic time. I know I am personally going through so much change. It feels a little overwhelming. And then it's also exciting. And then I'm also pulling on my tools of, okay, when I need to relax, when I need to focus, when I need to readjust, when I need to talk to a friend, all of those kinds of things are amplified right now because we're in such a time of change. Oh, you're still.
Yes, we are massively. And you know, I just saw Dr. Diane Hennessy. She is the doctor, the scientist, and slash medical doctor who worked with Kai Dickens, who did the telepathy tapes, does them. And she was extraordinary as a contact in the desert just 3 weeks ago. And she spoke there, packed house, which I loved. And then she was also on a panel, and they did this extraordinary telepathy demonstration of a mother who's so tapped in. It was, you know, just beyond comprehension, what she could perceive, fully blindfolded. I mean, they had her in black. And then the daughter, who is nonverbal, but can only use a spelling pad, and wrote everything out that we were able to see. She had no idea because it was in the moment somebody came up with it. It was behind her. She would have never known. It was mind-blowing. And yes, exactly. Also, the idea that so many people are waking up right now. And that makes me very happy as well. This tribe is growing. Awareness is growing. And I think part of the ascension is all these people coming on board at this time. So if all of that is true with what you're saying, then what are the unseen galactic alliances that are influencing Earth's dimensional shift right now at this stage? How are they interplaying? Who's interplaying? What does that look like?
So, I mean, I get that through my guides, Ariane, and their focus mainly is our internal changes, what we're going through. And yet this is a universal process. We know that we have a very broad mix of intergalactic DNA here, or many different species. So there are so many different species that are part of what we're experiencing here. And the way I have generally broached it is the predominance of galactic species that are more connected to our physical embodiment or our physical DNA, like our Pleiadian heritage, the Sirians, the Lyrans, the Orions. You know, these are much more directly physicalized in our DNA. And then we have layers that are very connected to us that are not always as physicalized in our DNA, although it's expanding. This has been constantly expanding. Some of those would be the Arcturians, the Andromedans, the Vegans. You know, this is a different level of interaction with our Akash, because they've been working with us. They're part of our evolution, some more to the past, some more to the future. And yet they're part of opening up this human recognition of the blend that we truly are. And that's everything from our galactic heritage to just our embodiment here in physicality, which is especially how Ariane approaches it, from what's physical, what's non-physical, and how do we move into those in a way that supports us utilizing that here on Earth. like telepathy, for example, because it's something that's very natural to us. And it will become more and more natural to us over time because we're going to go through so many changes that will awaken more and more of our subtle senses. It will lead to more and more connection, even though what we're seeing right now are the death throes of separation that's still looking for control and suppression. And that's not going to go away overnight and immediately. It's an overall wave of us becoming more connected and really anchoring that. So the galactic part of that is how we apply that here and how we take some of those different lessons. Like our Pleiadian lesson is overall about embracing the positive and the negative so that we aren't avoiding and we're holding more of that neutrality and really sustaining that connection of love. More of our Sirian connection is about recognizing the natural blend of science and natural technology, that we are the technology and all other technology around us serves to remind us of what's possible within us, not to overtake what we would naturally do. And so they hold that so that technology is available to keep moving us forward, not moving itself forward. And so that Sirian message and that Sirian lesson and lineage is very strong right now because of what we're going through. And that holding that neutrality so that we don't get overly emotional or overly mentalized is a big Sirian path. And I have a lot of Sirian connection that really holds me to that, is a constant work in progress. So I just find it so fascinating how so many different galactic species are supporting us. They're not all supporting us. This isn't a world of only positives, but there is so much that is within us and around us that is compelling us forward on this natural journey. And Ariane is always consistent with its life is fail-safed towards love. It may twist and turn. It may not seem like it from a perspective and it may take time, but it is always fail-safed towards love because that's connection. That's the organism we are all within.
It was so interesting when I saw you channeling Ariane in January. Is that a male energy? That was such a powerful energy that came out of you. It was amazing how you changed physical form, vocal form, everything. And I was kind of enamored with Ariane. Tell us about him. I'm assuming it's a him. He feels like a him.
It's a they, it's a group, but to me, it does feel more masculine. Maybe that's just in comparison to me, but that's the overall feeling. And yet it also feels very neutral. But the power and the flow that comes through with Ariane to me feels kind of masculine. So they're ultimately the Lyran Council of Time. And then they gave themselves that name Ariane at a certain point. That's kind of a funny story, so I'll give it quickly. When I first started, they came to me and they said, we want you to channel us directly. And that was, I think, November of 2012. And then I channeled, I was by myself in a hotel room. And so I channeled aloud, they wanted to come through. And it was such a beautiful channeling. I, of course, was like, sure. And I had already been doing channeling for a long time. I just hadn't channeled, a singular energy over and over. So it took a little while before I actually channeled publicly, and I could see that they were forming a name, which I wasn't expecting, because they said, we're the Lyran Council of Time. So I thought that's just where they were going to be. And I could see an A, but nothing else, or maybe an A and R. I can't even remember now, but just one letter, maybe two, and nothing else. And I knew it wasn't finished. And then I started talking to my friend one time, and he was like, oh, there's this group that's around you. They want to come through. I'm like, I know. I said, they're trying to form a name, I think, but I can't get it. So can you see it? Can you get it? Because he's done that for me before. And he was like, oh, I see this. And it was, if it was A&R or if it was just A at the time, it was the same thing that I had been seeing. I was like, well, that's good validation. So a few weeks later or so, a month later, who knows, they came to me and they said, this is the name, Arion. And they showed it to me spelled A-R-E-O-N. And I immediately thought, oh, what if people say Arian? And they think it's like Arians or something. And they were like, that's the name. And they left. So they came back about 2 weeks later, I guess just to let me simmer. I don't know. And they said, this is the reason it's called Arion, you know, the AR, they've got reasons for that. It's argon and air and mental and an eon, that makes sense because of time. And then they said, now spell it backwards. And when I spelled it backwards, it spells no era or timelessness. And I was like, oh,
wow,
yeah, that's the name. I believe you.
That's amazing. Wow. So their name even embodies who they are, and they are they, they're a collective. How fascinating. I put out a video recently about the times we're in. It was a short video. And why I did it, I'm trying to do that every week just to keep connecting. And I'm just aware that everybody is very much like you're speaking to, going through things. And it's also a bit of a, you know, waves, the undulation of the up, down, the in, out, all of that. And just when you think you find some footing, something else comes. So it's a really interesting time. But I wanted people to know, in my estimation, why. And here's the thing. I was cleaning my office. I was doing a big cleaning and recycling and giving away. And I found this old Jean Keys, like paper about me. I don't even know how old it is, but I had kept it somewhere. And I thought, this is so cool. Let me read through it again. And he got to one of my Jean Keys, but it was also very collective. And Richard Rudd, who created this, that here's the crazy thing. He created it in 2002. And he is in the Gene Keys, and I it was Gene Key number 55, saying that something unprecedented is going to happen in 2027. And all the things leading up to 2027, energetically, human-wise, that are going to be going through massive change, chaos on this planet in order to facilitate whatever this is in 2027. And I just thought, that's amazing. I feel that energy for that year. I know there's people out there talking about that energy. What is your understanding of what we're heading into and what 2027 is really all about?
Yeah, such a good one. And ultimately, let me just put that up front. I don't truly know all the details. Like that is either going to be revealing itself closer to the time, or it's for us to discover in our individual lives. Who knows? But the thing that is very clear to me is we're going through this time of breakdown or separation or the prophase of that cellular division. Oh, I hope I said that right. It's been a long time. Where the cell is dividing, or the metamorphosis of the caterpillar, where it doesn't know what's to come on the other side, but the change is a compelling. And that stirs up the stuff that was hidden before. And it's why we're going through a lot of change as well. Like things are just coming up to be dealt with. They're coming up for awareness. And it's preparing us for much more awakening and connection. And I know there's been a lot of focus around contact during this time. And I think that's wonderful. And yet also that main focus still needs to be what's going on within us. What are we focused on? What are we focusing on as we're going through such chaos? Because that's the information that gels something new. And yet we're also in what feels to me like a spring of humanity. What the way that Ariane's actually been talking about it for a while. And that says to me that there's a compelling, like that beautiful Anais Nin quote, there came a day where the bud could no longer stay contracted. And so it had to risk blooming, but it was compelled to do so. And that's where we're at now. And so this time, while it can be overwhelming, sometimes it can be frustrating and it can be a little distractive in ways like, oh, well, when are they going to come? When is this going to, what's exactly going to happen? And none of those are bad questions to ask. It's just getting back into your life, your beingness, and what's in your control, and then what's blossoming out from there. Because we truly are at a time where what's going to tip is more and more awakening, more and more like, of course, we're telepathic, you know, to say to something that's hitting a little more mainstream, of course, light language is real. Of course, we have intuitive senses. Of course, there's other ways to do things besides what we've already done. Or of course, control and negativity and war and all of those things that, you know, manipulation and lies, suppression, of course, those aren't helpful or healthy in any ways. So that all of that change that we're going through is truly much, it's leading us to much more connection and much more co-creation, much more awareness. And so much like the telepathy tapes for people like us, it's going to feel like, yeah, this is what we've been talking about all along. This is what we've been doing all along. This is what we've been seeing. And it's so wonderful to see others opening to it and there being people finding ways to prove things that we've known, we've experienced. That becomes the excitement where more people are like, wow, it's undeniable. And that's what we've been holding and having to hold ourselves to, even as we see all the chaos that's going on, or we're in these ups and downs in our own life.
Yeah.
The feeling to me is freedom, like more freedom. And that's that same feeling of when you're manifesting, for example, and you finally let go of some control that maybe you didn't even realize you were holding. And you're just like, oh, all is well, where it's just that explosion into everything and nothingness, even if it's only for a second. That's what it feels like to me.
That is super hopeful, you know, to hear you say it's really about more. And we're not talking about more things, more stuff. It's more of who we are, more remembrance, more activation of our innate gifts, more freedom. And when that happens for an individual, that means collectively, whether it's in mass on the earth or it's our tribe, is going to a heightened place together. However that will manifest, that feels really hopeful. And it also sounds like how we navigate this time right now is really important to who we're becoming. The choices we make, the way we self-care, the way we modulate through these dark light experiences and times, all of it, it's actually very important in building who we are. Does that sound like an accurate summary?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So even the changes that we're going through, it's almost like exercise, like exercising that muscle of holding more neutrality or letting yourself go to that peak of pain and that peak of release, that peak of joy and that peak of creativity, that we are exercising that ability to blend the human experience and the divine experience so that it becomes embodied here. And through that, it really comes back to being yourself, that authenticity and that integrity to keep moving forward in the things that are meaningful to you, because you know that they're playing into something bigger. Like you just said, I do this weekly just to make sure I'm connecting. And it's an exercise. It's an exercise for you that's strengthening connection. It's strengthening focus. It's strengthening information flow and how you respond. And even if you skipped a week here, there, or whatever, all of that is perfect, but you've got this natural compulsion to expand. And so you're honoring it. You're following through with that in the ways that feel appropriate to you, knowing that there may be adjustments and all of that is perfect. This is the time where the answers will come because they're going to spring forward, just like the flowers bloom. The solutions, the changes, they will come just because that's what's natural here. And we're learning the exercise of how do I go with the flow? And that means sometimes I'm paddling with the rapids. Sometimes I'm going right into them. Sometimes I'm avoiding them. Sometimes I'm relaxing. Sometimes I'm breaking. And that's what we're doing here, so that all of the changes, whether it comes in the form of contact, or it comes in the form of, you know, societal changes or life changes, all of those are calling us to be more embodied so that we're adaptable and aware as those changes are occurring. It's go time.
It is go time. And, you know, for added support, I just want to mention that you do a newsletter. Your newsletters are so perfect. They're not often, which, you know, in today's day and age, everybody gets so much input. So they're perfectly timed. I love that you give really the germane of whatever the subject is, and you address these things with so much just compassion for the reality and also suggestions. And then folks who want to learn more, of course, we can click and go to more on your website. So if folks also want to go to jamieprice.com, get on the newsletter, and to get this continued support in the way that Jamie is talking to us right now. So I feel energetically it would be great for us to shift to a healing transmission if you are up for that and can explain to folks what you feel called to do and anything we should know.
Yeah, so that's perfect timing. So what I'm feeling is support for us through all of this change and adjustment, that we have that recognition of the things that we might need individually for the self-care, like you were mentioning, for how we would focus and how we pull back into ourselves, you know, how we connect and how we pull back into ourselves, so that we're honoring the individuality and we're honoring the connection, that this is a really important time. And it's been preparing us and calling us to empowerment, because it takes empowered sovereigns to truly connect. Otherwise, we go through motions or we overcontract. And so that adaptability of the empowered sovereigns is what I'm feeling called to help us shift through.
Awesome. That sounds good. Amazing.
Nice.
So do we close our eyes or anything?
Yeah. So what I always remind people, I'm never doing anything to you. This is always energy that's offered to your higher self, for you to your higher self, ultimately, to decide what you will release and activate. Now, of course, your human self co-creates with your higher self, but that higher self is that 99.9% aspect of you that's subtle and still connected in the oneness. So you can just relax into it. You can close your eyes. You can open your eyes if you want to see. But mostly what I recommend is be in your journey, because it doesn't matter if you see me to receive the energy or not. So whatever feels comfortable for you. So everyone take a nice relaxing breath. And as I'm doing this, just see what you notice. Anything physical, any thoughts or emotions, psychic impressions. Amnam datayat sukro ratal ranam shtaru mat nem hakura takriyat. nor hareaptat in sochor matnem akuratani ea. Anan sacharatutum hakriarotua an creerat. Amna harotandet an sacharatam, brahmakramat nam atsayed and hatan a. Gral haranut munam sochor mat pierakrand, hananat anya ewa a. Kurma, mana. Sacharot ama patiat. Akram hatak shayat al ranum hat mnemak. Nem hakrayat unum sancharak ur krayel. Gran sacharatiet engtiat unum brau and dal hartiam. Nam uramaktam hat sucharot okuel kriaratat in surmat dem. Bra umrak al kranchatut mnem such. Den hiniat sacharat akriarat. Uranat al ranan hat sum charut anan. Grem stare creare hat sal heretien et het sam mrama karanto tura tal renend mnema tsu charmak pier et hier ananat wal grarat han hat san charot unam tsur o granand andur man at shairo mat nel ni hat hier et hier anat Okorakat et sacharamat nem branhatet ininet sachur krol hartian. Ana charo to dum hat wara kanal ta ti anum hat wara ti na wara ta o am brau harat kananda ti an anu wara hat ti na o sa chum na hat ti ra ri to ot at so brau hanare to ro ta ho ka de na me hura ta yo wa en ti at chum brau harat ti an aru ri han na ti ro ne mo at ti at ne hat awa ko ko da ta ne hat so chum be hane ana we at wa hane au sa chum na ha wa na wa ti na so ot ko ko Summon up there, what I chatted at the Matia, Toda, Utsa Chalifini at Yarumat, Deatsa Chanato Kakua, Mrebatanat so chatted om to Kora to Grail Hertona, Amtar Tiene, Nemahat was such on mat name. Is a so or. Good. Take another relaxing breath. You can gently rub your hands together, Rub your hands on your legs, move your body, bring yourself into a conscious brain state. Good. Wow. Oh my goodness. What were you experiencing?
Oh, thank you for asking. That was like a symphony. I feel a little emotional, actually. It was a symphony and it was different movements. In the very beginning, the first movement, if you will, I had chills. I mean, so much my shoulders kept going up and goosebumps everywhere. And then that shifted into the second movement where I just had tears in my eyes. And it was a beautiful kind of tears, very beautiful. I felt stuff being cleaned, cut out, moved. It was so powerful. It was almost like samurai energy in there, like in the third movement. And I will say in the fourth movement, still a lot of work happening, but I just felt incredibly peaceful. And that's amazing. I don't know how long that was, 5 minutes, 7 minutes. I feel completely different in this moment from when you began. Yeah, I'm still very emotional. That was unbelievably powerful. Tell us how you feel, how that
Yeah,
was for you.
that was wild. And you know, there's a difference when you do a transmission one-on-one for someone, or you do a transmission for a class that has chosen to be there with a singular focus versus something that goes out publicly. And the things that go out publicly, there's still potency there, of course, but it's often gauged for the audience. And that's just how it naturally flows. So after all of these years of doing all of those, I notice those differences. And yet there's variances within all of that. That was so incredibly potent and specific. And I say that in all broadness, you know what I mean? Like specific for individuals and yet specifically potent to create a lot of change. So the things that stood out was one, it was different galactics, especially all throughout. There was quite a bit of fairy energy there also in the beginning, or elementals. That wasn't necessarily just fairy, but and there was also a lot of connection with ancient Egypt in the beginning. So they kept doing things all around the head, and then this I did not realize at the time, but it was preparation for what was coming later. And my hands kept moving like almost in a triangle upwards, and they were talking about how we hold those energetics of an extended brain beyond the physicality, and that's what the walls and the, you know, was written on the walls of Egypt, and the pharaohs that would have the extended hat, because we know it was from the extended skulls, and we've even seen those in Peru and different places where it's not just a matter of elongating the skull. It's a different cubic, you know, circumference. I don't know, I'm not using the right words. So they were talking about that and doing something connected to that in the beginning. And then there was times of a lot of change. There was a time where the energy had shifted and the light language was coming so fast, my mouth couldn't actually keep up. And so I was hearing a lot of what wasn't coming out, and like what would come out would almost be like if you were in and out of a radio station where part of it you can hear it and then you can't. So that was a lot of clearing and amplification happening all around the throat and the heart. Not that those were the only things, but just so much going on in that area. Then, it shifted. Oh, and when the Antarians came in to remind us of part of their support with our telepathy, because they are a very one-minded, connected galactic species. And so they hold a lot of that for us. So I thought that was very sweet. And then there was this time where I started breathing just like poof, poof, like fast breaths. And what was happening there was very specific to the brain and creating a greater connection with the limbic system and the rest of our consciousness. I don't think that I'm saying that properly, but that's the best way that I can translate what I was seeing and experiencing there, because it just kept like amplifying that and cleansing that and moving that into another capability. There was another time where two of my fingers went in front of my third eye and I was tapping on it, and it was pretty aggressive. And they were showing me like it was either that or your head. So it's the proxy. So much wild, specific, deep stuff going on there that is there to just bring us to the next level, which is where we're at. That's what's natural for us.
Oh, it's so
Wild.
interesting to hear you reflect back your experience. I really feel like it completely parallel mine. Yes, and I forgot about this, but that's what I felt, the throat, the throat, the throat. Like, I also really felt just massive amounts being cleared out, and the sounds were extraordinary because I felt like even they carried volition to them, energy to them. Like it felt very clear what was happening. I just want to say, I'm going to re-listen to this. I'm going to listen to this. And I was even thinking, wow, maybe when I do my shamanic practice, I like to go out in the grass, put my feet in the grass and root, and then do this beautiful shamanic practice. Wouldn't it be amazing to wind it up and listen to you and them coming through to do this? And thank you so much for being so willing to open yourself to that level. For that amount to come through to us, I really received that. And that was
Thank you.
beautiful.
Thank you. This is the wonderment of what we all have within us, is this capability to connect with such depth and create things that aren't necessarily visible in the moment. You know what I mean? Like the changes, how it affects, we don't know. And yet we just have to keep being and knowing that we are more than just, I don't know, worker cogs. I don't know. Like, and that's just what being human is. It is divine and magical, and it's all around us, like getting out in nature. I mean, that to me is just so miraculous and so beautiful to watch it and feel it. And that's the magic that's within us.
Tell us about you, what's coming up. I think it's a lot, but
A
tell us
lot.
all the places, spaces we can find you, where people can work with you, what's exciting and coming down the pike.
So this year, I've got two events and two classes for the rest of the year. So I go to Shasta in August for the Lion's Gate. That's going to be an amazing event. Wendy Kennedy, Lisa Royal Holt, Rob Gauthier is going to be there. It's Aurora Luna is going to be there. So it's going to be a lot of fabulous channels, and Heather and Ruben that are putting that on. They are amazing channels. And so it's this blend of indigenous energies and galactic energies. And so on the 8/8, we're having an indigenous ceremony. And then on the 8/9, we're having a galactic ceremony. And then, of course, during the day is the event. So that's there. That's available in Shasta in person or live stream in August. And then the last event of the year is West Virginia in November. And that's the mountains that I love, that I grew up near, not those particular ones, but the Blue Ridge Mountains are one of my favorite places here. And So we'll be up there in the mountains, amazing channels. That's going to be Darrell Anka channeling Bashar, and Wendy Kennedy's going to be there. So that's going to be an amazing event. And then I've got two online classes. I'm teaching Light Language Online in September, and I'm also teaching Crystalline Soul Healing Online in September. And those are two very different modalities. Light language, of course, is externalized. So y'all heard and saw the light language coming from me. But Crystalline Soul Healing is a Lyrian template technology, and that's a silent modality. There's no movements or anything. And so that takes you deep into the universal laws that create our changes so that we understand directly what's going on as we do energy healing. And so that opens you up as you get access to that template, that opens you up to amplify that flow because you're blending more into a conscious awareness of universal laws. So love teaching both of those classes. And that's my year. Next year is going to have a lot more travel in it. So we'll talk about that later.
Yes, me too. I'm already booked at six events. And when people have been reaching out, I'm like, there's just so much of me, but I also want to be home. But it's going to be a big year. I'm excited for that. And I love everything you're doing and everyone you're doing it with. And when you talk about crystalline soul healing, this beautiful teaching and speaking that you do that allows people to go in and do this deep work, does that also correlate to the earth? So the earth, as we know, is a living entity. I believe she's ascended way faster than us. And does this also assist her in any way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is everything that we do that creates change, positive changes, has a whole effect on our environment. Kind of like if we, when we feed our body good things, then that environment is able to sustain better. And so everything that we're doing to improve ourselves, empower ourselves, make changes, become more neutral, all of that has an effect on the whole organism of Gaia that we are connected to. And so the earth connection is an important one. It's a two-way street always. We're always receiving and we're always giving information to Gaia. And so I believe that everything that we do that's healing is also helpful for Gaia and vice versa. But she's the powerhouse that supports and sustains us, and yet we do that in our own way as well.
Jamie Price, I adore you. I think you are amazing. I'm so grateful you came onto the show again. And thank you for everything you shared and all the direction and all the insight and the beautiful transmission. What are you next, dare to dream? What are your future dreams and goals? What haven't you created yet?
Oh, the dare to dream is truly holding that and anchoring that energy that we all know in our hearts, that we are each unique, cherished divine beings, and that everyone recognizes that within themselves, because that truly is what changes the world. That's the empowered, happy, interactive people creating a society and a global society that operates from love and operates from understanding and connection. So I know it's coming and it's a circuitous path sometimes, but that's where we're evolving to.
I end today's show with this reminder. Ascension is not an escape. It is the return to the truth of who we've always been, infinite, divine, and deeply connected to the stars from which we came. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, the weekly Dare to Dream podcast. Leave a comment and share the show. Next week on the podcast, I'm speaking with authors Andy Tomlinson and Rena Kumas. She's got quite a name, Kuma Racingham. They're amazing. They talk about telepathy like we were talking about today. They talk about the savant syndrome, lucid dreaming, telepathy, out-of-body experiences, and past lives. Rena herself has had an NDE that was pretty extraordinary, and they do very hands-on work with people, giving them an experience of the between lives. So be sure to tune in. It's going to be amazing. Thank you for joining us today on Dare to Dream. It's always an honor to be on this journey with you.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.